Thank you so much for joining me here for Celebration Sermons. I'm Laura, the pastor of Celebration Lutheran in Chardon, Ohio. And this is a sermon I preached to the good people online of Celebration on May 25th, during the pandemic of the coronavirus in 2020. This sermon is the last in our Easter series of Easter being so much more than we think. And the text for this day comes from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, several different verses from the 15th chapter. On this day, my lay assistant chose to read the Message version, and so I follow his suit. St. Paul writes, "Friends, let me go over the message with you one final time. This message that I proclaimed and that you made your own, this message on which you took your stand and by which your life has been saved. I'm assuming now that your belief was the real thing and not a passing fancy, that you're in this for good and holding fast. The first thing I did was place before you what was placed so emphatically before me, that the Messiah died for our sins, exactly as Scripture tells it, that he was buried, that he was raised from death on the third day, again, exactly as Scripture says. That he presented himself alive to Peter, then to his closest followers, and later to more than 500 of his followers all at the same time, most of them still around, although a few have since died. That then he spent time with James and the rest of those he commissioned to represent him, and that he finally presented himself alive to me. It was fitting that I bring up the rear. I don't deserve to be included in that inner circle, as you well know, having spent all those early years trying my best to stamp God's church right out of existence. But because God was so gracious, so very generous, here I am. And I'm not about to let this grace go to waste. Haven't I worked hard trying to do more than any of the others? Even then, my work didn't amount to all that much. It was God giving me the work to do, God giving me the energy to do it. So whether you heard it from me or from those others, it's all the same. We spoke God's truth, and you entrusted your lives. Now, let me ask you something profound yet troubling. If you became believers because you trusted the proclamation that Christ is alive, risen from the dead, how can you let people say that there's no such thing as a resurrection? If there's no resurrection, there's no living Christ. And face it, if there's no resurrection for Christ, everything we've told you is smoke and mirrors, and everything you've staked your life on is smoke and mirrors. Not only that, but we would be guilty of telling a string of bare-faced lies about God. All these affidavits we passed on to you verifying that God raised up Christ. Sheer fabrications if there's no resurrection. If corpses can't be raised, then Christ wasn't, because he was indeed dead. And if Christ weren't raised, then all you're doing is wandering about in the dark, as lost as ever. It's even worse for those who died hoping in Christ and resurrection because they're already in their graves. If all we get out of Christ is a little inspiration for a few short years, we're a pretty sorry lot. But the truth is that Christ has been raised up, the first in a long legacy of those who are going to leave the cemeteries. There is a nice symmetry in this. Death initially came by a man, and resurrection from death came by a man. Everybody dies in Adam. Everybody comes alive in Christ. But we have to wait our turn. Christ is first, then those with him at his coming, the grand consummation when, after crushing the opposition, he hands over his kingdom to God the Father. He won't let up until the last enemy is down, and the very last enemy is death. As the psalmist said, he laid them low, one and all. He walked all over them. When scripture says that he walked all over them, it's obvious that he couldn't at the same time be walked on. When everything and everyone is finally under God's rule, the Son will step down, taking his place with everyone else, showing that God's rule is absolutely comprehensive, a perfect ending. But let me tell you something wonderful, a mystery I'll probably never fully understand. We're not all going to die, but we are all going to be changed. You hear a blast to end all blasts from a trumpet, and in the time that you look up and blink your eyes, it's over. On signal from that trumpet from heaven, the dead will be up and out of the graves, beyond the reach of death, never to die again. At the same moment, and in the same way, we'll all be changed. In the resurrection scheme of things, this has to happen. Everything perishable taken off the shelves and replaced by the imperishable, this mortal replaced by the immortal. Then the same will come true. Death swallowed by triumphant life. Who got the last word, O death? O death, who's afraid of you now? It was sin that made death so frightening, and law code guilt that gave sin its leverage, its destructive power. But now, in a single victorious stroke of life, all three, sin, guilt, death, are gone. The gift of our Master Jesus Christ. Thank God. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God. Last week, we heard the reading from the 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, which usually we hear at weddings. And this week, we heard this reading from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, which, quite frankly, we usually hear at funerals. Death has been swallowed up in victory. That's how the reading goes. But just like last week, we looked at that wedding text outside of a wedding context, thanks to Pastor Bierman. Today, we're going to look at this text outside of a funeral context, in the hopes that we also see something a little different. So I wonder if you are moving about out in the world more recently. I wonder if you've ventured outside of your cocoon yet. Have you tried dining out? Have you gone shopping, like retail shopping? Are you going to go back to the gym? Send your kids to sports or dance camps? What about travel? Are you thinking about summer vacation plans at all? What about coming back here? Boy, do I miss you. Are you thinking about our protocols that we sent out and deciding whether you're going to join us for worship when we get back together? These are probably, for the first time in our lives, real questions. We actually have to think about these things. And in some really real ways, we have to prepare to go shopping at Kohl's. We have to prepare ourselves for dining out, we have to decide whether or not to come to church, not because I'm feeling it or not, but do I feel safe or not? And this raises anxiety levels. Everything we're doing becomes something to think about, to ponder, to seriously consider. It's not just, okay, time for church, or, wow, I want a new pair of shoes, so I jump in the car and off I go to Kohl's, or, I don't feel like cooking or doing the dishes tonight, so let's just go out to eat. These are things that we have to think about now. And it's a lot. It's a lot to think about. And I wonder if societally we have not come to the limits of our decision-making capabilities. We've had it up to here with making decisions about everything. Enter St. Paul this morning. I know, sometimes it's very difficult to understand. I love that Ken chose to read the Message version of the reading this morning. I think that Dr. Peterson sometimes can cut through some of what Paul is a little convoluted on saying. Because Paul does have a word for us today. Today, St. Paul reminds us that by the grace of God, we are who we are. You are you by the grace of God, and I am I because of God's grace. Now, I don't mean, nor does St. Paul, that you're the one who can't carry a tune in the bucket, or the one who always has the most tasty foods at the potlucks, or the one who has the optimistic attitude. That's not what I'm talking about. No, what Paul means by this is that by the grace of God, you are a disciple of Christ. You are, by the grace of God, a member of the household of God. You are, by the grace of God, a beloved child of God. You are, by the grace of God, an Easter person. You are who you are. I am who I am. By God's grace, we are Easter people. And these aren't just words. These aren't abstractions. This is reality. This is who you are. And because of this, St. Paul says, in a nutshell, we have a secret weapon against anxiety and fear: the resurrection. It's like this. I know this guy who's been out about in the world. He masks for the sake of others, but doesn't feel like it's really all that necessary. He's not worried about his own life. And people ask him about this. Aren't you afraid? Aren't you anxious? Aren't you worried? And this guy's response is, no, I believe in Jesus. Now, this isn't some sort of Jesus germ shield that he feels like he has, that somehow he's been encased in Jesus bubble wrap and nothing's going to get to him. He doesn't think that Jesus has put some sort of mantle of protection around him. I believe in Jesus means for him that if he lives, he lives for the Lord, and if he dies,
he dies in the Lord. He's also quick to point out that he's not interested in dying anytime soon. He's not going to go out and start licking doorknobs. But he isn't afraid, because he knows the power of the resurrection. He knows who he is because of God's grace. And he holds on to that Easter promise that because Christ lives, he can live also without fear, without worry. On Good Friday, in years past, we've sung this litany called the Solemn Reproaches. These are a series of reminders of how, even though God loves us and has done so much for us, we often throw it all back in God's face. Throughout this Easter season, the opening lines of the reproaches have kept coming back to me. Each one of them starts out, "Oh, my people, oh, my church, what more could I have done for you?" This Easter season, those reproaches have kept coming back to me, but not as reproaches, but as words of promise, in a much more positive sense, that is, not as being reproachful of how we haven't, but being filled with promise of what God has done for us. Oh, my people, oh, my church, what more could I have done for you? Because God has given us this great gift of Easter, of resurrection promises, of the end of fear and end of the finality of death. Oh, my people, oh, my church, what more could I have done for you? I have given you, says God, all this life, filled with all my grace and promise of me with you in all things, all things. Today, instead of the ways that we throw this gift back into God's face, like we hear on Good Friday, on this final Sunday in the Easter season, I leave you with the ways that we could live into this promise of the fullness of life. Oh, my people, oh, my church, what more could I have done for you? I have given you this life filled with my grace, and with the promises of me with you in all things. And so, you go out into the world with caution, but not fear. You greet one another with compassion and not judgment. You meet others with a sense of peace, not anxiety. And you live knowing that this is not the end, but only a moment. So thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.